will tend to dampen down any escalation in that part of the world. I mean, we've been talking about Sadat was going to have a deadline 1st of January. Now people are going to say, well, certainly nothing can happen until after the trip to Moscow. That'll give us a little more time, I think, and means a ceasefire, I think, will stay effective for a longer period of time, all of which is very, very important. The third thing I want to mention is that in the United Nations, I've now seen 75 foreign ministers, private, long, private meetings with them. Everything else aside, the most important thing to them is the relations between the United States and the Soviet Union. I mean, that's what they look at.
They all raise it.
They all raise it. That's what I made some comments in my statement up there. They all, most of the foreign ministers came over and said, we really appreciate the fact that the relations between the Soviet Union and the United States are good. And I think this will tend to reassure them that the prospects for peace are quite good. They'll be less jittery about the future because of this. And I think this will be received throughout the world with great enthusiasm.
Henry, what is your feeling on that now? And nobody knows about the
but they were informed.
Mr. President, you have set the tone for attitude by saying we're protecting our policies for each of these in terms of improving our relations and with each of them contributing to world peace. We are not collude with one against the other. We are not interested in the two major quarrels they have with each other. One is ideology and the other one is the border question. Neither of those we are going to get involved in. We have been, just in this room, meticulous about keeping each side in general informed about what we were doing with each other. The Chinese have had advance warning that this announcement would be made, that an invitation would probably be forthcoming.
That's why the Soviet were informed before we announced this on this trip. They were informed that he was going there because we didn't want to have them, you know, have any excuse for blowing the thing.
So we had a difficult, delicate road to hold there, but as long as they have the sense that we, that as long as each of these countries has the sense that we are not playing with the other against it, and are pursuing primarily our own bilateral problems with each of these countries, we can bring it off, and so far we have managed it without strain on either side. And above all, by being completely honest with each side as to what our general plans were.
We should point out that there is always the possibility that forces within either country might take their view of things.
Almost certainly true.
Yeah, we're on. There will be talk. I would not be surprised to see either the radio say something, the Moscow radio say something, the might be. But we think that our general philosophy is correct to seek good relations, both rather than playing one against the other. See, that was a command decision that I had to make. I came to the office and Billy Reed and Henry were going to the first MSC meeting. I said, no, this idea of the condominium with the Soviet, that we were strongly pushed to do that, you know, let's make a condominium with the Soviet in order to do it in the Chinese. Well, that didn't make sense for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is if you have two potential opponents, you don't join them, it's stronger to join for the weak. But the main point was, I looked at it more in terms of my view, and I talked about this in terms of a long range. Condominium with the Soviets would be great short range politics, because that is long range policy. Because long range to China is going to be an enormous force in the world. I mean, it's an enormous small force in terms of numbers now, 25 years from now. It could be the most potent nation in the world. But I would be less than candid if I were not to say this is a very, it's a tightrope we're on. We're trying to be meticulous with both sides, forming either side, and it's done against a tightrope with our allies. I think Europeans welcome the Russians at this point.
Oh, they will, yeah.
The Russians and the Japanese will welcome them.
I think especially the Soviet Union, I think very respectful of the way you handle the Chinese question, because the criticism has been very mild indeed. In the last month or two, they really supported it, said they understood it, and they think you've handled it very well.
Mr. President, I certainly approve of your Texas move. You anticipated a question I had in my mind because of the proximity of the dates involved. When you stated that Peking was advised, my only question is, what has been Peking's reaction, if any? And if not, it is just an advisory here, notice enough.
When I was there, we discussed the Chinese tourists, what their attitude would be to such a business meeting. The question of a specific invitation.
Well, if your conversations have been interrupted, they were frankly very candid with you, and you were candid with them. Right. Bill, you remember that. You said that with regard to this project, we have to proceed.
That's right. And secondly, for their own reasons, they may not be too unhappy because it takes away the charge that the Soviets were beginning to make earlier this year. The famous colluding with the arch capitalists at the expense of fellow communists.
One other point I should make, Mike, I forgot to make, that the Chinese visit is agreed. Well, the date has not been selected, that will be worked out on this current visit. Will occur, of course, well before the Soviet visit. They know that. That is an important point that you made.
We have every reason to believe that while that they understand and that it will not divide our relationship, and in fact, it may even help a bit.
So I'm delighted because, frankly speaking, personally, I would like nothing to interfere with the trip to Peking, because if anything did, I think the letdown would be tremendous and the action would be against us. What you said is satisfactory.
Mr. President, will you, has it been said publicly, or will it be said publicly, that the Peking visit has come before
I said that, yeah. I have a confirmation, because it's, you see, you said that the Peking visit to George would be by the 1st of May. And so we tried it. We in the Soviet visit, they actually wanted it in July, because that's sort of a condition. But that's why you may remember that I went there as vice president. We wanted to move it into the May period, and that actually so that we get it before the conventions and politics and all the rest. But the Peking visit, we don't know that it will be, let's just say, well before, at least the dates that presently are under consideration, that the associated United.
And the Soviet visit will be in May.
It'll be in May, and but it'll be in the second half of May, but well before the first of May.
In Moscow?
In Moscow. Let me say at the ballet, if anybody should raise the question with regard to why Moscow, I mean, let us remember it's our turn. You see, Khrushchev came here for a statement, and I said, Kosygin met with Johnson and Glassboro. That really doesn't count, because that was just a one-day deal. Khrushchev came here for a state visit, and the Russians naturally feel that it's our turn to go there. And I, of course, accepted on that basis. We could have, well, actually, we didn't even raise the question. They wanted it there, and I felt it was only the right thing that we could go there.
If it was in either countries, almost had to be there,
yeah.
Because they've been here a lot.
They've been here twice, too.
Yeah.
They've had two conversations there. There's been no president has been there at all. See, my visit.
Mr. President,
yes, sir.
Go ahead. I'll wait on that.
Yeah, I'll.
Mr. President, of course, I was proud of the fact that she followed the motion. And I don't like to say these things. But ever since you've been in office, I've been asking you, she has a motion. The last time I had any
expect the last season.
The last time I asked you to put him to dinner, I saw Henry. I thought you'd be that too. Now, I do hope that you give me the chance to at least talk to you before you go to Moscow.
I will.
I think I have a lot of information that would be vital to you.
Well, okay.
And I want to say this now. I'm not saying this boastfully, but I was instrumental, if you believe this or not, in having the President Kennedy to meet with Khrushchev. That was one of the first stand-ups yesterday. Yes, at the end. And when Mr. Khrushchev came here, of course, met him and I'll tell you a little story demonstrating what happened. Fulbright, he's not here today. Fulbright invited Khrushchev to dinner bar, to a luncheon.
Where, in Vienna?
No.
Yeah.
And when he came here to Washington.
Yeah, 59.
Fulbright said, well, that'd be the last time he came. And Fulbright invited me to to go to this luncheon. And Khrushchev was there, and I can see all of us in the committee standing in the big committee room and circling the corner. And when Khrushchev walked into the door, stopped, he looked at everyone there, and when he saw me, so help me God, he came up to me and hugged me on both sides. I felt as though I'd get on the stage.
Fair,
that's right. And I talked to that man of many times, and I talked to Nico Yan and many other members of the Politburo. And I made five visits. I took some wonderful pictures there that might be helpful. I've been telling you that. Of course, if you don't want to see, it's all right with me. And I'm not trying to write. Of course, you don't. But I really believe that it would do good for you to hear Trump from someone who's been to every part of Russia and who had no action with Russia. Let me tell you something else. I hope you keep the military out of this.
Well, let me say, just a little advice to give you. Can I indicate two or three things? One, and I want to say this to the leaders, there will be extensive consultation with the leaders for soldiers. Depending upon what's coming up. Now, you say, what will we consult about? Now, here's a very, very, very important point. People say, well, will we consult about Armstrong? It depends upon what the situation is then. We're going right ahead on the Armstrongs now. We'd like to get a deal before then. Will it be about the Middle East? Depends upon the situation then. Will it be about trade? That's the first subject, you can be sure, because trade is a major area that they're interested in, and it's a major opportunity for us if it's on the right basis. Would it be on the account? Depends upon what the situation is then. But my point is that we will have consultation. We also will have extensive consultation with our allies, just as they will. And I'm sure you all realize this, I can't emphasize too strongly the fact that when you do deal with communist leaders, any communist leaders, they have a phobia, they're paranoid about privacy. It isn't that we want to keep anything from you, but they're paranoid about it, and we have to respect that. But we certainly want to have any input, we want to have a consultation here. Bill will, I will myself, at the proper time, because we're not there for
purposes.
Well, let me say this. As there is with the case with China, there were no understandings, whatever, prior to China visit. There will be none made at the time Henry's on his, he's going there to discuss the arrangements, the agenda, and so forth. And there are absolutely no understandings regarding Skopje visit. In other words, the carte blanche, depending, and we will discuss those subjects that are current at that time. What he says.
President.
Yeah.
That comment comes about at this time, with what you said. I have a long visit with Suslam. Up to now, I'm the only American that's willing to talk.
He's the tall one.
He's the tall one. He's the fellow who picks up this stuff without petition. He started right off on trade. He said, our trade relations with you are worse than they are with any other major capitalist country, Britain, France, Japan. He said, it's disgraceful that we have only as much trade with you as you have with Austria, little Austria, he said. This is a matter of immense sensitivity with him. I'm glad that you're going to discuss it, because that's almost the first thing that people like this want to hear about.
Mr. President, you know, I'm chairman of joint the Committee on Foreign Economic Policy and Joint Economic. We've had some very extensive hearings on the idea of West Trade. I wish they'd look at it because some of the leading economists on both sides, including the Russians, have made some very significant statements so far. You know, Bill, we haven't been able to move a peg on legislation.
This could go.
Carl, I say one thing, Carl, very good. Mm-hmm. West trade plan is, well, one thing, again, we talk about what the guns are fair on. Another thing that Brian Oreck about is, at least publicly, ever indicate that one thing depends on another, what they call linkage. On the other hand, they link everything.
Right.
We have to remember that with regard to trade, one of the major areas is Southeast Asia. And that area just reduces the possibility for trade and that's the increase. All of you know that at the present time that if you were to go in there and say we're going to trade with countries that are putting stuff in the North Vietnam, you have a hell of a problem. But if you get that thing down, the possibilities for trade goes significantly up. I think this is something that they're quite aware of too.
And Mr. President, maybe just peripheral, but I was there 3 years ago. And since then, the Russians have developed the finest precision workmanship in 23 jewels with watches and cameras, which is a direct imitation of the Japanese Canon. In 3 years, they're ready to move in the market on us. I sat wearing a Russian watch, $150 watch that I paid $14.42 for. $14.42 for that watch, and it's at least $150 watch. So
it's well, a lot of
comfortable. No, he's very much in the
moving on Conner River. Now, we're deliberately moving at our own pace. But how much is in that already?
$400 million. How much? $400 million.
$400 million in Conner River already. It's a potentially an $800 million contract. You're aware of it, Jerry, because you're
a tremendous project.
Yeah, and trade is a lively subject, let me say, at all levels, and we're discussing it. May I add one thing I think is terribly important? Carl, I'm sorry, you started to say something.
No, I just wanted to.
I can't hear you, Carl.
Wait. I just said, I think the President should make both trips, and I certainly am happy he's not making trip to Moscow.
Oh, well, we've done that. We've done exactly the thing Mike was concerned about. It blown to the end. No, they're quite aware of that. And incidentally, it was very interesting to note that the Soviet did not object to
it. It couldn't.
The main thing, one of the false impressions when you put this
day in May, late May, and you said you didn't want to, because it's a little close to the political thing. Well, you can all see, I had to push, I wanted to put it in May, but I deliberately did that from our standpoint, the Russians, on the little way. From our standpoint, it had to be a little after the Chinese thing, so that you could move the Chinese state back some, which we've done.
You got it?
Yeah, yes, John.
Well, just one question, Mr. President, but first, I'm very much impressed with what you've outlined here. Very much pleased you're going through this. Seems to have my backing. On the salt talks now, as I understand, this is clearly not a cessation of the salt talks until the summit can meet.
No, sir.
You're expecting this to drive, as a matter of fact, on and then perhaps develop into a summit on salt.
As a matter of fact, I think this announcement will give impetus to salt. Due to the fact that I think that both governments will want to have some progress on salt. And we're making progress. Now, the one thing I should say, we've got to emphasize, so that I think that, as you said about salt, and I say this knowing that there are some of us, many of your colleagues, and some of the room who have different views about the defense. With the way the Soviet is moving on their building of offensive weapons, particularly with salt in its present stage, and with the summit coming up, I will have to fight for maintaining the American defense effort and maintaining a credible position, or otherwise, we will not have a bargaining position with them. See what I mean? Now, I know that there are views to the contrary that this irritates the Soviet press, but it was quite significant to note that there was absolutely no question on their part that they are moving forward on their offensive weapons very, very strongly. And our purpose is not to get in an arms race with them, but in order to stop the arms race, or to get some limitations in the arms race, we have to be in a position to stop them. They are the ones that are moving here. And they move well ahead of us, as you know, John, and Les better than I do, on the offensive side.
Mr. Brennan, you gave a good answer to the press about the question that Senator Kennedy asked. He pointed out that he hoped that this would speed up the process, and that we're going to attempt to maybe have an agreement worked out before that time, and then in the press said, if that doesn't happen, then we'll have a chance to discuss it when I'm there.
Right.
This is very good.
And also, the point is that let's assume that we get salt. And we look at any other things to examine the arms control deals. Salt isn't the end all of everything. We understand the present thing in salt. And Henry, you've done this, as you say, with verity. The present thing in salt is basically just a freeze. And not, it doesn't get it. It doesn't get, for example, Mike at MDFR and all the other things which we're trying to get at.
That's right.
So there's a big ball to discuss at the summit.
Mr. President, I like a John the other than too many questions doing that. The states they are so enormous that there are conflicts. I'm sitting this room, there's some of the men around this table. The President Kennedy finally said the Russians would take the missiles out of Cuba.
Yeah.
He said maybe the Russian threat is no longer the greatest threat. Probably the threat now is from China. And I remember coming back here when President Johnson told us that Chinese had a hydrogen bomb and the potential of a delivery system. So what she's doing is enormously important, and I know that she has a support.
Mr. President, I think you have not only support around this table, but I think the American people would be very
well, let me say this. I want to say this to our good Democratic friends here. We certainly respect them. Jerry, you I say this last thing to come along. But I really appreciated the fine support we've had from on the House side, Doc, you, and of course your committees, and Carl, your trip was so good over there and came at the right time, and the support that Mike has given us in these things. And as I say, we have, we can't,
we have our differences about how to get the war, but our goal is the same. We have our differences about ADM and things like that, but our goal is arms limitation. And I think that all of us would agree that the United States at this critical time must not miss the chance to exert its influence with the two, with the one superpower and the other only potential superpower, the present China, play a great role, and that's really what we're doing. Now, it is, I want to emphasize, I can't say for sure it isn't going to fall, because we're playing, not because of us, but because of them. But there's a good chance now that we can negotiate with both. But it's very important, if I could emphasize, Army, all of you are going to be asked, we're not playing one against the other. This totally answers that anyway. If we just had the Chinese game going, then it looks like we're playing them against Russia. And if we just played the Russian game, we'd be playing them against China. But we are very meticulously talking to the Chinese, talking to the Russians, neither at the expense of the other. This is a very important point. Very
much. Mr. President, I think in view of these talks which are coming up, it would be well for the Congress to swallow the defense budget, whether it be authorized, without a lot of faith. They do a lot of stupid things in the Defense Department, you know. They need to fall off the C-5. They didn't tell us about the 9-8. A lot of stupid things. But I think that if we would give them as much as we can for defense at this time, even though we may have reservations, it would put you in better shape in both Peking and especially in Moscow. And I would hope that any drastic changes in defense could be postponed until next year rather than now. I'd like to have your comment on
it. You're wrong, signal. Let me say that I say this with reluctance, because God knows we'd like to have the money, we'd like to come back on the rest, that is our goal. But at this point, they are not cutting back, they're going up. Now, they're watching us. If we do cut back, you put yourself, you're just going to undercut our negotiating. That's our problem. And
the veteran did no substantial difference in bills and Congress. That the procurement bills, as far as that part, no substantial money difference.
I'm not familiar with that.
No substantial money. May I ask this question? You emphasize this better climate with the soldiers than a year ago. But why?
I think it's because of the, I tell you why, I hesitate to speculate, John, because that there's nothing that would irritate them more than the thing that we're speculating about why they're doing things. I think I have reasons. I think there are very good reasons for it.
That's the way you should read.
No, don't be sorry. But what I think is the reason is their self-interest. It isn't their self-interest now, frankly. Let's look at where they are. Well, let's start down the track. First, at a time when the Soviet Union was way behind the United States in arms, what have they got to do? They got to catch up. They were inferior. Now there's a rough balance. Now that rough balance creates a situation where they now have to make a command decision. Are they going to continue to go up and try to get ahead? Now they know very well that for a while they could get away with that, but in the end the United States would have to react and we'd have to build up. And who's going to win that way? All we do is going to cost each of us a great deal of money and run the risk of a competition later. The other thing is, I think that their relations with their neighbors on either side motivates them to an extent. Their concern about the possibility of the Middle East concerns them, as it concerns us, all these things I could say about ourselves. And I think, too, the point that you made a moment ago, look at the Soviet Union. Their economy has been flat for about 6 or 7 years. Despite all the talk about computers and the other things, you look down around Moscow there, I was there in 67. I mean, the average Russian isn't doing a lot better than he was 5 years ago when I was there in 66. Now the point is, trade.
trade is enormous. I mean, here these folks sit. They no longer have the position of superiority. They are Mr. Big in their part of the world, as vis-a-vis us. And so they look at the future. Now, understand, they still want to expand. They still prefer a communist world. They still are going to try to keep the Eastern European countries well on a leash. But on the other hand, in terms of their future will not be served by getting in a runaway race with the United States on the arms front, now that they have caught us. Their future will not be served by having any areas where they might have a confrontation with the United States. Because they know, as well as we do, once you get these things under control, you realize, as I said a moment ago, there's not going to be any winners in the next one, only losers. Could you take 1 minute for a picture, Mr.
President, Senator Elder raised a question about Senator Fulbright. He had to address a presentation. He's in Fayetteville, Arkansas for the 100th anniversary of the founding of the university in which he was president.
Yeah, so I just told him that they're having a game this Saturday.
They're going to begin in Texas Saturday. He's there for another purpose.
We lost Oklahoma for a new window.
I'll tell Senator Fulbright when I call it, George. Oklahoma had a powerhouse, I understand.
Oh, well, they're great.
No, what is it?
Oh, what's
it? So, two in a row, USC and Texas, the only two games I've seen.
How's Arkansas going to do?
I don't know. Oklahoma's knocked out about five of the best men that Texas had.
Who was Arkansas's picture this year?
Who was what?
Mark, who was Arkansas's picture? I'm asking you about an Arkansas man, but is anybody worse? We should ask Slover about that.
It's
also the Arkansas.
Yeah, I can't imagine having
a super. Yeah, Arkansas came and then got
they lost one game.
Did Tulsa beat him?
Tulsa.
Yes.
Of course, Tulsa did. They had won it wrong years ago. He's quite a
I thought Oklahoma would be
good.
How many weeks ago they could score?
They scored 100. They could have scored 150 points on this.
What is it? Passing or running?
Three fast. Three quarterbacks that can run fast as a house. They start around the end, and nobody knows who
the kids are running.
We find out in the morning.